You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast with me, Rachel McCathy. Digital journalism today reaches audiences via a number of channels, including the range of social magazines and personalised news apps offering aggregation based on user interests. In August last year, CNN acquired Zeit. General Manager for Digital at CNN International, Peter Bale, explains the decision.
Well, I think Zeit offers, through its very, very sophisticated algorithm, an extremely clever kind of learning method for learning about curation, using your social graph, using your behaviour to make the selection that it curates from the web better every day. And now I've become a very active user of it, I can see how it works. If you even if you don't actively engage with it and tell it what you want, it works out pretty well what you want. If you then take a little step further, it does deliver a very, very powerful, highly personalized service. And it starts to pull in from sources that you wouldn't expect otherwise and that you may well not encounter otherwise. So it increases rather than decreases the pool of content from which you're trying to educate yourself or entertain yourself, for that matter.
He added that as well as partnering with other media outlets, there's also ample opportunity for advertising within personalised readers like Zeit.
You know, we want to work with publishers, other publishers in it. This is not just our... We definitely do not want to surface only our content within this. It is about opening yourself up to the rest of the media landscape and doing so in an appropriate way. But I think that it's also about advertising as well and finding, you know, this kind of thing will become a very interesting outlet for advertising. Intel, for example, has already advertised quite heavily inside Zeit. You know, there are some very, very interesting options in there for helping advertisers get their message across to a different group of readers as well.
And looking forward, he said the possibilities when the technology is implemented in larger media streams should also prove interesting for enhancing user experience.
At the moment, it's very much tablet-based. It is the iPad that is generating, you know, 99% of this activity. You know, Zeit is one of them. Flipboard is an excellent alternative. Flood, FLUD, is a really interesting one as well. But I think it's when they start to move beyond the tablet and start to integrate themselves into bigger streams of media that they will start to come into their own. So you might see things that are powered by the Zeit algorithm start to appear in other CNN products in a way that you suddenly think, ah, I can see why they did it. Ways in which we can bring context to stories. It is, you know, I'm a big fan of the concept of editorial curation. And with an engine like Zeit sitting behind a journalist, you can really enhance the user's experience by giving them a range of sources they might not otherwise find, or a selection of your own content that might not otherwise sort of be generated in the way that it should. You know, the Zeit algorithm may be able to find things within our own CNN content database that our journalists wouldn't find in a month of Sundays.
Another example of a news personalization app is News 360, which was founded in 2010. Chief Executive Roman Karaczynski outlines the app.
So News 360 is a personalization service on mobile devices. What we do is we try to understand what your news reading interests are by looking at, you know, how you use Facebook and Twitter and what you share in Google Plus and read in Google Reader and so on, and then create a set of very narrow feeds that try to get you news content that is specifically about what you're interested in. And at the same time, kind of together with that, we try to get you the important stories, the stories that you have to know to be kind of an informed citizen and to know what's going on in the world.
When it comes to content shared on the platform, he explains why topics and categories are key to the process.
I mean, if it's just a question of you want to find out what's going on, you want to find out kind of the news, then, you know, it really doesn't matter that much where you go. You're going to get more or less the same. You can go to Google News, you could go to just, you know, like the BBC, the BBC's website, or you could go to basically any news aggregator, the picture is going to be more or less the same. But when it comes to your specific interests, that's where all these experiences differ. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to, instead of having you, you know, visit a bunch of blogs and search through Facebook and Twitter for interesting content about your interests, we want to just have a single place where we automatically find it. As soon as something is published and we feel that, yes, this is relevant to you, we want to have it ready for you to read as soon as you open the app.
And as for building this reading experience beyond the tablet and mobile, News 360 offers what it calls a Periscope web browser extension, which allows users to read articles on a certain story from a number of news outlets.
What it does is it tries to bring the same kind of experience that you have on inside our tablet apps, which give you kind of difference. For every story that you read, we show you different points of coverage, like how different sources have covered this. Like here's all the photography and all the video that was published around the story, and kind of the Twitter feed that tells you how the story is being discussed on social media. And our goal of the Periscope is really for users who are already using this on the iPad and on the iPhone and on all these devices, and have gotten used to this experience of, you know, I have a story and now I have, it's not just a story, it's actually a collection of all these different articles and all these different media that's published around it. And once you get used to it, it's very hard to go back to just, okay, here's just one article.
But in order for publishers to be able to exploit these new platforms and reach audiences on the other side, they need to be prepared to give up control of their content outside their own four walls, says Jim Brady, editor-in-chief of Digital First Media in the US.
I think they just, in the old world, you could control how everything looked in a newspaper and exactly how your television newscast looked. And in the digital world, like how your content is produced and where it shows up. If you decide you're going to exert complete control over that, it means you're not playing in social and you're not playing in mobile and you're not on Zeit and you're not on, you know, Flipboard. And I think if you're not on any of those platforms, let's be honest, that's where people are spending massive amounts of time. They're not coming to your website first thing in the morning. Most people are messing around on these other platforms. And if you're not there, it's very easy for them to forget you exist. And so, but you can't play on them unless you're willing to give up some control. And I think that's the mindset that we're still trying to overcome a lot in the States and probably everywhere else.
And part of this is about understanding the changing ways consumers are behaving when they consume, such as by topics and categories.
I mean, I think the news consumer now, I mean, they didn't, you know, they might have read everything that was in our newspaper, but that wasn't necessarily how they wanted to get content. That was just the easiest and most efficient way to get it, a branded thing on your doorstep in the morning. But once the doors opened and you could get news from any source you wanted, you were gonna navigate differently. So there are a lot of people who read the New York Times who only read, you know, David Brooks and Maureen Dowd, and that's all they read on the New York Times. There are a lot of people who only want to read about their local football team, and there's other people who just want to read about fashion, and there are just people who want to, you know, read content about one topic from 50 different sources. So I think once you gave the consumer the ability to get information, and I should add to that, they can get it on 10 different devices and 10 different platforms. So you add all that up, it all adds up to the consumer controls kind of the path they carve through the news, and you want to put yourself in as many places as you can so that eventually they bump into you somewhere. And so I think you have to play in those spaces, and you know, we're consumer brands. If you don't pay attention to how the consumers actually use the products you use, then obviously, you're not going to be a consumer brand for long.
He characterizes the opportunity as lead generation, with the more channels content being pushed out to offering more opportunity for returns.
I mean, 99.99% of what happens on the internet happens outside of your website, right? So, I mean, if you could create the most beautiful, cute, little, wonderful website in the world, and if nobody knows it's there, it doesn't matter. And so this is lead generation. It's almost like business, right? I mean, auto dealers, traffic, and lead generation. And lead generation for us is somebody's on Facebook and they see a link to a really good article our local paper wrote, and they go, geez, I didn't realize the local paper was covering this. Yeah, maybe I should go there more often, right? I mean, that's all it's about. And even if one of every 100 of those leads leads you to a loyal reader, that's pretty good, you know? And so that's you just have to acknowledge the world outside your own house. And, you know, if you want to be a shut-in and act like the only thing that matter happens under your own roof, you're going to not have enough traffic to sustain a business.
And when it comes to making those returns, here's his advice on how to get readers to come back to your site from a social reader and stay for a while.
I think, you know, having some of the social readers do a better job of integrating links back to their natural sites, I think, would be a good starting place. I mean, Facebook and Google are already there. They're all direct links, basically. But then I think the key is once you get them there, like, what are you going to do? And I think we failed miserably as an industry about closing the deal. We spent all of our time trying to figure out how to get people to click once to our site, and we completely forget how to get them to click a second time. All right, we got them here. Like, sell the site. And I think some of that is just, we don't think enough about it. Second is, as journalists, the idea of selling anything. Like, we have good journalism, we put it here, and the people either like it or they won't. You know what? That's the old world. In the new world, you got to sell yourself, and you got to say, hey, while you're here, check out these five great things that we did or that are on this website. Don't make it about doing 100 related links. Or we have this story about Manchester United. Here's 200 more links about Manchester United. I think that's an old way of doing things. When you get somebody to your site, say, you know what, look at all the great stuff that's on this site, and here's why you should come to the site anyway, regardless of whether the story's about Manchester United or not. And I think we've done a lousy job at that. We just get people to the site, and then they hit the back button, and they're gone again. Hook them.
You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.